Krishna. Om Ganatamanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Girave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansa Kalpa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyebhyo Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, after he took sannyas, he traveled to Jagannath Puri. He had an inspiration to go to Jagannath Puri. And there in Jagannath Puri, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he immediately wanted to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham to find Krishna. But Nityananda Prabhu tricked him and brought him to the home of Advaitacharya because the devotees from Mayapur, Navadvipa Dham, Mahaprabhu had left so suddenly. Just he was gone. He was given the night before he took sannyas. He was given some loki sabji, lao, and it was cooked in his favorite way in milk. And then and he spoke to all the devotees that night. Unfortunately, I don't remember the Bengali, but he told them, just chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna, chant Krishna's names. And they didn't know it was the last time they were going to see him. And then in the middle of the night, he left. And I don't know what the right word is, incredible, awesome, heartbreaking story of how Mother Sachi knew he was going, and she was waiting there. When Prabhupada started telling the story this past time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Sachi, because he was leaving Sachi, his mother, and Vishwarup, his older brother, had left, and Jagannath Misra, her husband, had left, and practically she had no one to take care of her, and she was elderly. And she was in the doorway waiting for him as he left, because she knew. So even when Prabhupada was telling this, at least there's one lecture, and he couldn't finish telling it. It was too emotional for him. He just, and when the whole room goes silent, and he's very, he's teary himself. So he left, and he told his mother, I'm still here in two forms. One is the holy names and the other is the deity form. And he circumambulated her and he left. And then he crossed the river, the Ganga, in a place that's called Nirdayagat, which means what? Merciless. No mercy, because the residents of Navadvipa had been with him in Mayapur for years and just chanting and experiencing the highest ecstasy by his association. And then suddenly he was gone. And when the devotees came the next morning to see him and Mother Sachi, as they always did, Mother Sachi was outside. And he said, all his possessions are yours now. You can do what you like with them. He's gone. And everyone was stunned for days. They couldn't think. They couldn't sleep. They couldn't eat. They were just stunned. They couldn't speak. So Nityananda Prabhu, being so merciful, being Nityananda Prabhu, he told Mahaprabhu that, hey, this is described in right at the beginning of Madhya Leela, of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how he tricked Mahaprabhu to go to the house of Advaita Acharya, and at the same time he sent Chandrasekhar Acharya to Mayapur to tell all the devotees, including Mother Sachi, to come to the home of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. So all the devotees came and they stayed there for 10 days, I think almost 2 weeks, experiencing the ecstasy of his association and chanting and having kirtan and talking Krishna Katha in the daytime with just ecstasy, ecstasy, ecstasy. And then but just imagine how difficult it was, because he was a sannyasi and he was going to Jagannath Puri, so they were so ecstatic, but they knew that it was going to end. So it was time for him to go, and the devotees said, just stay a few more days. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, okay. So they had a few more days. So just again, imagine how intense those last few days were. You know that they all knew that he was going. And then one day he said, now I'm going. And they said, but, and he said, I'm going. And he went. He left and he took four devotees with him, Jagannanda Pandit, Mukunda, and Devananda Pandit, and Nityananda Prabhu, they went. And the first thing he said to them when they left, he was such in the mood of a sannyasi, he said, did any of you bring anything with you? Meaning any of your credit cards, your mobile phone, change of clothes even. And they said, no, we would never bring anything without your permission. Because as we're going to hear very soon, that this essential purpose of sannyasa is to learn full dependence on Krishna. Full dependence on Krishna. For protection, for everything. So they left and there's so many adventures on the way to Jagannath Puri. And when they got there, which is in the sixth chapter of Madhya Leela, Mahaprabhu went in there and he had a leela of going to Jagannath Temple. And what did he do when he entered the Jagannath Temple? What did he do? He fainted in complete ecstasy, but he fainted in separation from Krishna. He had been all the time saying, I'm going to see Lord Jagannath, I'm going to see Lord Jagannath. And then he got there and he fainted in separation. Now, why? Finally, he got to Lord Jagannath and then So our usual understanding is that he was in so much ecstasy, and he was in the ecstasy. But why he fainted in that mood is explained later in Jagannath Puri in the 13th chapter of Madhya Lila, where he the Rath Yatra festival, which is Mahaprabhu's mood of Srimati Radharani, and from the 82nd chapter of 10th canto of Bhagavatam, coming to Kurukshetra. So these emotions are so... Hare Krishna Maharaj, you are well this morning? You must be tired. So his mood in Rath Yatra is Kurukshetra. The 82nd chapter of the 10th canto, where all the Brijbasis, all the residents of Vrindavan, they come to Kurukshetra because of the solar eclipse. And they hadn't seen Krishna. They didn't come because of the solar eclipse. They became just to see Krishna. They hadn't seen him. He who the blinking of, they criticized Brahma because their eyes would blink, and just for that moment, they couldn't see Krishna. And that was too much of an ordeal. It tortured their hearts not to see Krishna for a moment that he had left. And there he was coming again. They would have the opportunity to see him. Kurukshetra is just above Delhi, and there they were in Braj, so they came to see him. There's so many pastimes involved in this, but when the gopis finally saw him in Kurukshetra at one of the ponds called Sannihit Sarov, there he was, the same Krishna. But there he was, not the cowherd boy playing his flute with a peacock feather on his head, dressed like a cowherd boy. But he was a king, and the rattling of chariots were there. So another subtle type of ecstatic separation from Krishna, where Krishna is present but in his non-presence, so to speak. Everything was the same. Krishna was there. They were the same. But something was missing, and that was Vrindavan. That atmosphere in Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu, I want to see Lord Jagannath, I want to see Lord Jagannath, I want to, and then he came, and then he saw Lord Jagannath in this opulent worship, and he fainted in separation, in the presence. This is a special mood that Mahaprabhu taught. Even separation in the presence of the Lord. So, we know how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought him to his house. All this is within the plan of the Lord, and how Mahaprabhu changed his heart, and he was the famous scholar, and he was an impersonalist, Advaita, teaching Advaita Vedanta to everyone. He was the guru of even the sannyasis, teaching Advaita Vedanta, and then Mahaprabhu changed his heart, and he became such a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such a bhakta. But then it came time for him to leave Jagannath Puri. It was just a month and a half after his taking sannyas, and those four devotees had come with him. And the first person that the first persons he told that he was going to leave were those four devotees who came with him. They had come with him from Mayapur, from Navadvip Dham, to Jagannath Puri. They had walked with him. They had seen Gopinath. They had seen Sakshi Gopal, and they were together. They were all like a team in one sense. And then he said, I'm going, and I'm not taking you. He didn't say it as crudely as this, but you can't come with me. I want to go alone. intolerable for them. So intolerable. I could speak for myself. So many things in this world I don't like and they're intolerable. But this one thing of being separated from Krishna, that's quite tolerable. But these devotees were devotees. That was the one thing that was intolerable for them. So Mahaprabhu satisfied them and he agreed on Nityananda Prabhu's request to take one of Nityananda Prabhu's devotees with him and he as a servant and perhaps another devotee as well. And they immediately went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he said, with your blessings, I'm going now. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he agreed. And then when it was time for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to lose the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fainted to the ground. This great Vedantist, greatest scholar, teaching Sadarshan philosophy to everyone, famous historically even, known historically as such a great scholar for opening up the school of Navanyaya logic in Navadvipa, and that becoming the center, the university center of all of India for teaching Navanyaya, the school of logic. So strong-minded, when Mahaprabhu left, he fainted. And Nityananda Prabhu took him and took care of him and sent his people with him. And interestingly enough, when it came time for when Mahaprabhu returned, and then he was going to Vrindavan, was going to Nepal. although some devotees said he went to Assam at that time. He ended up going to Bengal on his way to Vrindavan, and Gadadhar Pandit had come with him, and Mahaprabhu said, "No, you have to stop. Can't come with me. We don't want to break your Chetra Sannyas." Then Gadadhar Pandit fainted. Just the absence of Mahaprabhu was heartbreaking, just like the absence of Krishna. And then who took care of Gadadhar Pandit at that time and gave him solace? It was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So everyone has their time to to be the giver and the taker of mercy. So in any case, Mahaprabhu took permission from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and he left on his tour of South India. And some devotees came with him. They accompanied him to Alalanath. And then it came time for them to be left behind. And as Mahaprabhu was going, he was began his tour, and Nityananda Prabhu saw him. He saw the people who were surrounding him, just the villagers and the people who were so attracted. Everyone was completely attracted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because, and I note I say this again and again, because of his beauty, his personal beauty, but also because of his internal absorption. And therein is so much the key to becoming an actual devotee. And Mahaprabhu was teaching this by his personal example. And I heard Prabhupada speak about this and just yesterday or 2 days ago in a recording that I heard. We have the external activity, and there's such a tendency to be externally absorbed and forget the internal. And therefore, we become externally absorbed and internally dissatisfied. And when we're not internally satisfied because of our lack of internal absorption, then we look for satisfaction somewhere else. It's inevitable. We have to do it. So this internal absorption is so important. I mean, in one sense, it's the essence. So we saw with Srila Prabhupada, he was always engaged. But what was the internal cause of his continuous engagement and service to Guru, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He didn't speak about that very much, what was going on inside. He was very, very grave. But one time, if I remember correctly, in Gorakhpur, when he started chanting Jai Radha Madhava, and you were there. Do you remember what happened? He went into ecstasy and he couldn't continue. So that was always there in Prabhupada. Otherwise, you couldn't, no one can imitate. From now on, I'm going to. You don't know why I'm giggling right now, because I thought there was a morning walk in Vrindavan that I heard where one devotee who was then the temple president in Vrindavan, he said to Prabhupada, "I've heard, Prabhupada, that if you chant stool once a day, you're a yogi." And sorry for the grossness of it all, but. And if you chant twice a day, I'm not chant, but if you pass twice a day, you're a bogey. And if you pass three times a day, you're a rogie. So we should try to only pass once a day. And Prabhupada just laughed at the youthful, say, superficiality. And he said, yes, but we should not. I can't remember. His exact words were so funny. But don't try to do the external as if that's going to make you something devotionally wonderful. It's the internal absorption. And that's the hardest part, because the mind in Kali Yuga is so crazy. So crazy. So much external stimulation that's so disturbing. And the devotees who are very careful, they are very careful about what they let in to their consciousness. Or we have to use our senses, but they very careful to use their senses and see Krishna through everything that they let in. This is an example that Srila Prabhupada showed. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, always dancing and chanting as he went down the road towards South India. And Nityananda Prabhu made a prediction. He said, just watching Mahaprabhu now, I see that there was going to be chanting and dancing throughout South India, because that's where he was going, in every town and village. And indeed, that's what happened. So I would like to discuss a little bit about part of the internal mood, and then, which isn't really what I, yeah, it's directly connected to the other two classes that we gave, that we spoke on, and of course everything that we've been speaking about, and the whole purpose of the retreat, of the whole purpose of our lives. But there's something a little later on that's really the point I want to make, but this is also the point I want to make. As he went, and yesterday while I was in the car coming back from Tirukadamba with Jananda Maharaj, he started chanting this. This was Mahaprabhu's mood when he went as a traveling sannyasi. Krishna, Krishna, could you please, because I can't do it.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam.
Krishna, 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 Pahi Mam.
Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Pahi Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahi Mam.
Excuse me?
You're going to tell the reason why you were chanting it, yeah?
Yes, I was. I am Krishna willing. Because this is Pahi Mam Rakshava, protect me, maintain me. This is the essence or the foundational principle of bhakti. And it's in one sense, it's the entry door to bhakti, because we're in the material world and the material world is so captivating, but it is so dangerous and illusioned and enchanted by Maya. We don't see the danger because our consciousness is on enjoying the material world, and we don't see padam padam yat vipadam natesham, that there's danger in fact at every step, and whatever we're using to enjoy the material world in 1 second can be taken from us. We're in our airplane flying here and there, and we're absorbed in the little tube in front of us, and or driving in the car, and or doing anything. So the connection, you could even say the easiest way to connect to Krishna, gotripte varanam tata, in the material world, is to be completely dependent on Krishna, because it's knowing, consciously aware, that I'm a servant of Krishna, and this is a very dangerous place. And everything I have, everything I'm doing, I'm being maintained by Krishna. Even though I think that my body is working just mechanically, it is working mechanically, but just automatically, even though I'm thinking that my body is working automatically and everything, and tomorrow's going to naturally, it must be like today. It isn't. It isn't like that. And when something happens to us, that unexpectedly, it's such a shock to the system, because we're suddenly confronted with the fact that the material world is a dangerous place and I'm not going to be here forever, even though me, being an eternal soul, desires so strongly and naturally feels himself, his eternal existence. So Mahaprabhu teaching, as a sannyasi, teaching, you could even say the methodology, but he was acting in this way, that I'm dependent on Krishna, he is maintaining me, he is protecting me. So as he's going down the road, he's singing this in the mood of the Ivanti Brahmana, Aham Trishyami Taratya Param Tamo Mukundangri, by taking shelter of the lotus, I shall cross the ocean of material existence by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, of Krishna. I shall cross in this way, and always being internally absorbed, regardless of what else was going on. And this was his mood throughout his traveling in South India. And this mood of a devotee who's calling out to Krishna always for maintenance and for protection, this is the entranceway that is available to us very easily. And not easily, but in the sense of, here we are in the material world, and it is a dangerous place. unless we're completely hypnotized by Maya, and as Srila Prabhupada has said, we're either going to be hypnotized by Maya or hypnotized by Krishna. Enchanted by Maya or enchanted by Krishna. And we've come here because we've all made the choice to be enchanted by Krishna. Otherwise, we'll end up a cat in our next life. And you see, he's crying. So he went on in this way, and he went to, first to traveling south, he went to Kormakshetra, and there he saw the deity, and he was in ecstasy, internally absorbed, and the pujaris saw him, and they became completely attracted because it's so attractive to be ecstatic in Krishna consciousness, chanting beautiful Mahaprabhu, internally absorbed. And then from Kormakshetra, he visited a village. And in this village, and Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says this after the part that I'm going to now say, that this is how Mahaprabhu preached. This was his activity as he went from house to house to village as he walked throughout the land of South India. This is what he did. He'd go to someone's house and beg some food, and some house he would spend the night, and then he would leave the next morning. He would bathe and then immediately continue. He wouldn't. He wouldn't stay in any place. He would just continue because that was his mission. So he went to the home of one Brahmana whose name was Korma. He was a Vedic Brahmana. And this Vedic Brahmana was very, very, very pious. And one would say he lived a completely sattvic life, which means happiness. But it's happiness of a different level. Even if one goes to the highest planet in this material world, if one goes to Swargaloka, there's a happiness. And then if one goes to Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and then goes to Brahmaloka, each one of these has a different happiness that's more subtle than the next. Swargaloka is like, it's like being the wealthiest person and enjoying everything possible in this world. Everything that everyone dreams of. Even sometimes as devotees, we dream of being happy. And this is our concept of what happiness is. All the sense pleasure, long life, health, and dancing this and eating that, and just wow. And perhaps we also desire like that. And if we desire like that, Krishna's going to fulfill our desire. But when one goes to, it's gross. It's actually that kind of happiness is gross compared to the happiness that's available to the soul. So when one even achieves Brahmaloka, it's so subtle, the happiness there, the peace, the contentment is so deep. But it's not either Vaikuntha, what to speak of Goloka Vrindavan, which is full of a special kind of ecstasy that's only available to a special kind of devotee following the mood of the resonance of Vrindavan. So, but Korma was so pious and so on the level of sattva-guns, so happy. So when he came in and so cultured, so when Mahaprabhu came into his house, they washed his feet, and all his family members were there giving respect. And they took the water, and they all began to respect it, putting upon their heads, even possibly drinking, and thinking themselves so fortunate. They somehow understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they said, "Your lotus feet, your presence, your lotus feet is meditated upon even by Lord Brahma, the topmost person in this world, in this universe. And those lotus feet have entered my house. How fortunate I am." There is no limit to my good fortune. My good fortune is so limitless that it cannot even be described. And today, my whole birth, everything that I have, the ability to have a house, it's all been fulfilled and it's all glorified. But then, after that, he said, Kripa Kare Prabhu, by your mercy, Prabhu, you please give me mercy. Yan Tomara Sangha, I want your association. Can I leave all this and go with you? Sahitena Poriduka Vishyataranga, that I can no longer tolerate the waves of misery caused by materialistic life. That which brings such happiness is darkness compared to being in the presence of the sun. I even heard Prabhupada say this morning on a walk in Hawaii, he said, he was just talking about how miserable the material world is, how miserable the material world is, and that which we think is happiness is misery. And it's so hard for one in the material world to understand how what I think is, what it gives me pleasure is actually misery. And it's relative to one's concept and experience of happiness. And therefore, to give us some taste of a glimpse of what the spiritual world is like, Mahaprabhu has propagated the Sankirtan, because when the kirtan is going on, we get a taste of what the spiritual world is like. And the fragrance of that taste is not of this world. It's something that's not even experienced in this world. It's of a different quality completely. So in the presence of Mahaprabhu, this happy life of this Vedic Brahmana was immediately seen as darkness, as misery. And he said, please let me go with you. I can no longer, Vishaya Taranga, the waves of Vishaya, of sense pleasure, of materialism, I can't tolerate it anymore. Astounding. And Mahaprabhu answered him in a even more astounding way. He said, Prabhu kahe, ache bhatkavo na kaive. Don't talk like this anymore. Grihe rahe, you stay in your home. But Krishna nama, narantara, always laiba. You should always chant Krishna's names. You should always, don't speak like this again. You stay in your place. Better to remain at home. And better to chant the holy names of the Lord always. Nirantara. Always chant Krishna's names. Always chant Krishna's names. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. And then, so these verses are very famous. And then he said, Yahi. Not only you should chant, but Yare Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. On my order, you become Guru. And whoever you see, you tell them Krishna Upadesh, the instructions of that Krishna has given to this world. You chant always, and you spread this mercy to others, because the world is full of suffering. Another morning walk, I heard Prabhupada say, what is that word? He was talking about the animal. What is a slaughterhouse, he said. And then he wanted the devotees to say something like, once the animals enter into the slaughterhouse, it's assured that they will never exit. They will be killed. And he wanted them to understand that this material world, in fact, is not a pleasure garden, but it's just the opposite. It's a slaughterhouse. Everyone who enters doesn't leave with a smiling face, they die. So seeing that the world is, people are enchanted by Maya, hypnotized by Maya, suffering, even though they think they're enjoying. And when someone would say to Prabhupada that people don't know they're suffering, they think they're enjoying, and Prabhupada would respond things like, a pig eating stool, he thinks he's happy. You look at it and you think, oh. But he thinks he's enjoying it. That's what Prabhupada would try to convince us of. But not to be miserable about the material world is miserable, but rather, Jyotigama, Tamasima, Jyotigama, come out. There's a realm that's ecstatic, where every word is a song and every step is a dance. And you can taste it by Krishna Nama Narantara, by chanting always Krishna's names and helping others, giving them Krishna Upadesh. And then he said something very, very interesting, Mahaprabhu said. He said, Kabu na badibe tomara visya taranga. If you do this, na badibe, this bondage, he tells him to stay at home, this bondage will not touch you, the visya taranga, the waves of material existence, they will not touch you. You want to come with me and be in my association, and I say, stay home and do this. You chant always and help others, serve others in this way. And then something still more astounding. Punara pie tani, puran puna, again, pabe mora sangha. If you do this, you will again get my association. And in the way that Prabhupada explains it, it translates this, you will never lose my company. I will always be with you if you do this. So whoever, this is what Mahaprabhu, Kaviraj Goswami says, this is how Mahaprabhu, what he did every day in his touring of South India, he would give them these same instructions. He'd spend the night in a temple or at someone's house, some fortunate person's house, and he would tell them this. They would give him food, and he would give them eternal ecstasy in exchange. In the mood of a beggar, he was bestowing the greatest wealth. So in the case, if you understand what Kaviraj Goswami says, if you understand how Mahaprabhu dealt with korma, then you'll understand what he did throughout his tour of South India. And he would stay at night. The next morning after bathing, he would start out again. And in this case, with korma, guess what korma did? Mahaprabhu was leaving, and do you think he said? What do you think he did? He followed him. He followed him and followed him for a great distance. What else could he do? Because Mahaprabhu had stolen his heart. But eventually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very gently and carefully, you sent him home. Now, this is the seventh chapter of Madhyalila. Mahaprabhu begins his South India tour. In the eighth chapter, he meets Ramananda Roy, which is something not of this world, as this is not of this world, but that's something not of this world on a different level in one sense, but instructions. So when I would think of Mahaprabhu's tour of South India, I would always think of this very important dealing that he had with Korma the Brahmana. But then, I looked at the first verse of this chapter, and it doesn't mention Korma the Brahmana. It mentions a different dealing that Mahaprabhu has just after he leaves the house of Korma the Brahmana. And because I've noted that the first verse of the in the first verse of the chapter, Krishna's Kaviraj usually he points out sort of the essential point that he wants you to catch. And again, it wasn't about Korma, but the verse is about a different Brahmana whose name was Vasudev, who was a leper. He says, this is Prabhupada's translation, this is the first verse. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very compassionate towards a Brahmana named Vasudev, he cured him of leprosy. He transformed him into a beautiful man satisfied with devotional service. And to that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances to glorious Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when I read this, I thought there must be, because I would usually sort of almost skip over that because Mahaprabhu cured the leper and then went on his way. But then I decided that Kaviraj Goswami wanted me to look more carefully at it. And there's parts of this, his very short dealing with Vasudev that really struck me. And I will now tell you what struck me. So Mahaprabhu left the house of Korma, like he did after staying in everyone's house. He bathed and he left. And somehow or another, there was a leper named Vasudev who was living in the same village as Korma. And somehow or another, he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of Korma. Now, it's not clear if he understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's no mention of that. But somehow or another, he was so eager, this leper who was rejected from society and no one would come near him and they lived outside of the village or the town or the city. He wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to Korma's house to see the Lord, to see Mahaprabhu. And then, may I see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he was told that he already had left. The Lord had left, Mahaprabhu had left. And immediately, Vasudev fell down on the ground, unconscious. Even in that simple point that I would overlook every time I read it, just see how eager he was to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how eager he was that when being informed that he couldn't see him, and wasn't clear that he thought of him as the Supreme Lord, he wasn't thinking that he's going to cure me of my leprosy. He was eager. Tatraloyam api mula mekalam. He wanted Mahaprabhu's association, his mercy, his sangha. So much so that he fainted when he couldn't have it. That eagerness, that intense desire, and that's how we started, or at least I started my class, talking about the desire is that which is most valuable, that is our true wealth. And when it isn't, it's a spark in Prabhupada, it may be a spark, and Prabhupada said, my system was to fan the spark, and the purpose of the spark, the fanning of the spark, is for it to burst into flames, and the purpose of that desire bursting into flames is intense eagerness. And I want this, and Param drishtvinavartite, and when we want that, when we want Krishna, then the material desires will appear tucharan, insignificant. And if we try to remove them one by one or in mass, it doesn't work in the same way. We want to get the higher taste, so essential. And that is based on first the desire being inflamed. So then what happens is still more amazing. Anek prakar, vilap. Vilap means what? Lamentation. So many anek, great varieties of lamentation entered his heart. Kodetelegin, he began to lament. I can't see Mahaprabhu, I've lost the chance. And then Seichanai means in a moment, immediately, Ase Prabhu Tanda Alingana. Immediately, his desire was so great, his lamentation, his mood of separation was so great, that immediately Mahaprabhu came. Seichanai, in one moment he came, and he embraced him, the leper. He immediately returned to that spot and embraced him. And then Prabhu Sparshe, by the touch of Mahaprabhu, Dukkha Sangha, by Kushta, his disease, went. No more leprosy. Dure Gela went far away. Ananda Sahite. He felt great pleasure by the touch of Mahaprabhu and by his disease vanishing. And instead of being a leper who was rejected by everyone, he became beautiful by the touch of Mahaprabhu. Here's the Prabhupada's English translation. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched him, both the leprosy and his distress fled to a distant place. Indeed, Vasudeva's body became very beautiful to his great happiness. He was astonished to see the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he began to recite a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a prayer which was spoken by Sudama Vipra. Kraham daridya papayam. Who am I, but just a beggar, Dridra, poor, puppy and sinful person. Kwa Krishna, who is Krishna? Srinaketana. He is the abode of the goddess of fortune, of Sri. And yet, this Brahma Bandhu, I'm not even a Brahmin, I'm a sinful fellow. Smaham, this is who I am, yet Babhubhyam with his two arms, Parirambita. The Lord has embraced me. This is what Sudama said as he was lamenting when he left Dwarka. Here's the translation. Who am I, a sinful, poor Brahma Bandhu, friend of the Brahmana? And who is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in six opulences, Sri Niketana? Nonetheless, he has embraced me with his two arms. Oh, my merciful Lord, he turned to Mahaprabhu. Such mercy is not possible for an ordinary living being. Such mercy can be found only in you. And upon seeing me, even a sinful person will go away due to my bad odor, the horrible smell coming from my body. Even a sinful person runs away from me. Yet you have touched me. Such is the independent behavior of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now this is so wonderful. In a sense, this is the mercy we're all looking for. Not we're all looking for, but the mercy that some of us want to be free from all the difficulties that rain down upon us continuously, and we make plans you know, this I'll remove by this, doing this and this by this, but this is the material world, and we can never remove them, in fact. So here's the verse that struck me even more than the other verses. I'll read the Bengali, even though I hope no one arrests me for murder of Bengali language. Kintu achalen bhala adhama hai. Ebe ahankara mori janive asya. But, so there he is, in happiness, being cured of his leprosy, being touched by the Lord, understanding he's received the Lord's mercy, but kintu achalan, past tense, bala, atama, hai. Even though I was the lowest of mankind, achilan bala, I was balo, balo, ku balo, I was okay. He was suffering from leprosy. He's been cured of his leprosy. But even though I was a leper, the lowest of mankind, rejected by everyone, I was okay. I was bala. Ebe now, ahankara mori, janivi ashiya. Now I'm afraid that ahankara, false ego, pride, will arise within me. So the title of this class was What is to be Feared? And his humility had attracted the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and now he's afraid of becoming proud, ahankar. Who is beautiful now? Who is more beautiful than you? Who can speak better than others? Who knows more verses? Who can sing? Who can dance? Who can manage? Who has... Oh, no, I better be careful. I may mess with sacred cows. But any kind of pride will destroy our ability, false pride rather. Any kind of false pride will destroy our ability to gain Krishna's mercy. And Maya is so clever that Krishna may give us so many gifts. And even if we use them in Krishna's service, we can think pridefully, look what I have done. Simple, hard to avoid, but very dangerous. Very dangerous, because it stops us from getting the mercy. In one moment, Mahaprabhu was there. Say Chane, he was there because this person wanted, he needed Mahaprabhu's association, his mercy. And without that, he felt there was no life. A proud person cannot think like that. Beware of pride. And the wonderful thing about giving class is that you have to hear what you say. Being meek and humble, the Brahmin, this Vasudev, worried that he would become proud after being cured by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beware of pride. Maya can turn even the processes that we use to get out of Maya into her trap. And when one has pride, one will be trapped into a mentality of being the enjoyer. Now, the first one. In Enjoyer means controller. The world is meant for me. Just see how wonderful I am. New Mayapur.
Material world means nobody wants to surrender. Everyone wants to become master. I am the monarch of all I survey. Everyone is planning how to become a master. Therefore, the struggle for existence. Nobody wants to become a servant. You know very well in European history, Napoleon wanted to become the master of all Europe. Hitler wanted also. Similarly, there are so many leaders. Sometimes Roman leaders, sometimes Greek leaders, sometimes French leaders, sometimes German leaders, English leaders. The whole European history is full of fighting war. The basic idea is that everyone wanted to become master. That is the...
Could you make it louder, please?
We are now discussing Moli Maharaj. And he also wanted to become master in the whole universe. So that is the material degree. Actually, master is one, Krishna. There cannot be two masters, that is Krishna or God. But in the material world, because we have forgotten the real master, every one of us is trying to become master. This is material disease, not only in one life, but life after life. The cats and dogs, they also want to be master. The dog, if he finds another dog coming, he immediately begins barking very loudly. Why you are coming? So, this mastership competition is going on, life after life, sometimes as human beings, sometimes as animals, sometimes as fish, aquatic, sometimes as demigod, bird. This is the whole material thing. And the difficulty is that we cannot become master, but on account of our false ambition that I shall become master, we are becoming servants of material nature. We are acting in a certain way to become master, creating a situation, mentality. And at the time of death, when this body finishes, the mind absorbed in that mastership idea takes me to another body according to my ambition. So I become again, manifest in different body to exhibit my mastership. Another chapter begins. So, they do not know how the subtle laws of material nature is working to give us opportunity to become master according to our idea, false ideas. And we are actually suffering, sometimes as human beings, sometimes as animals, sometimes as trees, sometimes as... No. The mastership cannot be attained. That is not possible. In the false idea to become master, we are becoming slaves of the laws of material. This is real Buddhism. And that is suffering. So, when one comes to this understanding that we are not master, we are servant, Bhavanam Janmanavanti Jnanavad Mahaprabhu. After many, many births, if by chance one gets the association of the servant of the Lord, then he understands that he is not master, he is servant of Krishna, and then he surrenders. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahapa Sudurlava. Such great soul who has understood that I am eternal servant of Krishna, he is a very great soul. Samahapa Sudurlava. Very, very rare to become. And that is the fact. If sooner we learn that we cannot become master, we are eternal servant of Krishna, let us surrender to Krishna and remain in our own position as servant. Then it is perfect surrender.
But it's not over yet. Because he has expressed his fear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I'm going to become proud. So then, Prabhu Kahe, see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now we're back to the Govinda. We've lost Govinda. Govinda Vedahena Me. We need the PDF now. He said, he gave them the cure for the pride, for the master's disease. Prabhu Kahe, immediately. Kabu, yeah, the first verse. Prabhu Kahe, he said. Prabhu Kahe. Kabu Tomara nahoibe abhiman. There will not be any pride. Narantara kahatumi Krishna Krishna nam. If you always chant Krishna's names, if you do this, there will be no pride will come to your heart. Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi sunitena kirtaniya sadahari. Prabhupada's translation. To protect the Brahmana, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised him to chant the Hare Krishna mantra nirantara incessantly, and by doing so, he would never become unnecessarily proud. Now, Prabhupada uses the word unnecessarily proud rather than just proud, because there are certain things that devotees should be proud of. They should be proud to have attained some fortune, etc. Now, there's a short... Now go to the second of the proshos. And Satchananda Maharaj, he spoke about this yesterday, how to chant, and Prabhupada gave this good advice, prayerful advice on how to chant. In 1968, to the devotees walking with him in San Francisco,
the processes recommended, they are very valuable. but it is not possible to follow them all.
He's talking about yoga here.
In the present day, that everything is reducing. So, our method is to pray to Krishna to give us the necessary strength. That's all. Otherwise, by regular practice, oh, this age is very difficult, unfavorable. First thing is memory is very short. You cannot remember. Life is very short. Life is short at the same time, so much disturbed by anxiety, by disease, by natural disturbances. Short life, that is also disturbed by disease and lamentation. Every moment there is something for which you have to lament. Oh. Rogasokadi. And disease. This body is a breeding ground of all kinds of disease. Life is short and it is so much disturbed. So how is it possible to practice? Therefore, this one practice, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing, that is very nice. And praying to Krishna, please give me strength. Hare, O energy of Krishna, O Krishna, I am fallen. I have no strength. Please accept me. That's all. I have no qualification. I am frail. I am trying, but I am failing. All these appeals should be made. And Krishna is all-powerful. He can do anything. Even if we do not perform, trying our best, if we fail, Krishna will help us. Just like a child tries his best, but he falls down, the mother takes up and asks, come on, walk. Like that.
But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him further. Krishna, yeah, the next one. Yes, Krishna upadeshi kori jivera nistar. You should give Krishna upadesh, the instructions that Krishna gives to save the souls, the fallen souls, the jivas. Achareti means what? Very soon. Krishna toma kuribena angikar. Very soon, if you do this, these things, Krishna will accept you. Angikar means accept you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also advised Vasudev, this is the English translation, to preach about Krishna and thus liberate living entities. As a result, Krishna would very soon accept him as his devotee. Astounding. He's been embraced by Mahaprabhu. He was so eager. He got so much mercy from Mahaprabhu. But yet, if he does these things, then Krishna will accept him. If he does these things, continuously chant and preach, then Krishna would accept him. And the last verse in the section that we'll read is, after speaking like this, after instructing the Brahmana Vasudeva in that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from that place. Antaradhane. He just disappeared. He was gone. Dui Vipra, because Vasudeva had come to the house of Korma. Those two brahmanas, galagali, means they held each other around the necks, and they kande, they cried and cried and cried. Prabhuda Guna, just remembering the merciful qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Note that the instructions that Krishna gave Vasudeva, Mahaprabhu gave Vasudeva, were the same instructions basically that he gave the Korma Brahmana and that he told everyone as he toured. But listen to this, number three.
Krishna is the ability in man. Hmm? Krishna is the ability in man. Krishna is the ability.
Krishna is everything.
Yes. Is it all right to think sometimes when there is some success that it's more due to you than to Krishna? Because you've taught us about Krishna, you've taught us how to speak, etc. In other words, when there's some success, can we think that it's due to you more than to Krishna, or both, or?
Regarding Shastra, both.
Both.
Guru Krishna, Kriti Payapa, Bhakti Lata. By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. If one is sincerely seeking after Krishna, so Krishna gives him a guru, and the guru teaches him how to live.
Sometimes, Srila Prabhupada, devotees want to know what your greatest pleasure would be. Hmm? What your greatest pleasure would be. How you would want your disciples to.
You all become full Krishna consciousness. 100% Krishna. That people are suffering for want of Krishna consciousness.
Just press the pause for a moment. Discussion. That after Prabhupada said that, there's a break. So it's not clear exactly how this next transition takes place. If Prabhupada spoke more or someone asked him another question, it's not 100% clear. But it's clear that he said, what would your greatest pleasure be? What would you want your disciples to gain, to be? And his answer was, you all become fully Krishna conscious. 100% Krishna conscious. Love for Krishna. That will please Srila Prabhupada. Then there's a break, and then this comes.
Become happy. Mani namanadena. Even who has no respect will give this. Everyone, not for his material position, but because he is part and parcel of this.
Srila Prabhupada? Sometimes the question is raised that Lord Chaitanya predicted the holy name will be preached in every town and village throughout the world. So, to what extent will it be preached?
That will depend on the preacher.
In other words, will there be preaching centers in every town and village, or will it just be a question of traveling through and preaching to the people and ticking off that we've been there?
Traveling is essential. If possible, there may be centers.
But our ambition should not be simply to go to every town and village, simply so that we can say we went to every town and village. We should actually try to...
Why village? Everywhere. Town, village, everywhere. Abuddha Karuna Sindhu Nitai Katiya Mohar. Call it down like that. Hare Hare Dullava Pen Kare. Brahmara Dullava Pen Kare down like that. Hare Hare. Not only village to village, but door to door.
preaching engagement is unlimited.
Yes, preaching engagement is unlimited. I'm almost finished. Excuse me for going late. Prabhupada was quoting from a song by Srila Lochan Das called Nittai Gunamani, and it's about Nityananda Prabhu and his mercy. And the particular point that he was quoting, Abhadda Karuna Sindhu Nittai Katiya Muhan Gare Gare Bhule Premi Amare Aban. The ocean of mercy had been formerly, previously sealed tight, but Nittai cut a channel in the boundary to allow the great flooding waves of nectarian prem to splash gare gare from house to house, from door to door. And His Holiness Gogovinda Maharaj, he translated that in this way. Nittai cut down the strong embankment of the unlimited ocean of prema so that there was a heavy rush, a heavy flow, a flood that came to every home. Gare gare, bhule prema amiyaban, came to every home. Now, I'll end with one little story, because the preaching, the last thing that Pushta Krishna said, who has now left this world, was the preaching opportunities are unlimited. Once in the Philippines, just before a big program, Jagtrini Mataji and I were sitting in the room, a little room, alone with Srila Prabhupada. If she was here, I'd ask her to tell this little pastime. And Prabhupada, we were just sitting waiting for the program to begin, and there was a little, some hotel wooden piece of thing with a flag coming out, and Prabhupada picked it up, and the flag just broke. And Prabhupada just laughed. Just see. He was saying, just see the nature of this world. That's how I interpret it. And then he said, it is my desire that everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. You please help me fulfill this desire. So with a desire so big, everyone in the universe becomes Krishna conscious. Do you think there's some engagement for you? Srila Prabhupada, Maharaj, could you say something? Because this is our final Alone with Krishna session today, so there's probably a lot to chant.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Bhurijan Prabhu. Really, this is so nourishing, and also to hear directly from Srila Prabhupada. Do you also feel how it is so absolutely nourishing and everything? Thank you, Hare Krishna. Well, very briefly, I was with all of you taking notes. For instance, in the beginning, Bhujan Prabhu shared, when we are not internally absorbed, we will be internally dissatisfied. And when we are dissatisfied, we will be forced to look for gratification in the outside world. And so our pens were going over the, or racing over the pages, I mean the brahmacharis with whom we were. And I was thinking, oh, what a wonderful point. But then something came up which I really, really wish you to take in full consideration, because in this Govardhan retreat, actually we started last also a little, but here we started in full force to introduce a new element, a necessary element, an element that needs to be understood by each single one of us. My dear devotees, by just hearing, our Shraddha increases. By hearing and taking notes and then revisiting those notes, our Shraddha increases even more. But this is not how we meet Krishna. There needs to be something else. We hear so much in our movement. It is a movement where Shravanam and Kirtanam are really in the focus. Really, they're there. But you know, the symptom of the mind is it engages with something for some time and then it changes the engagement, or it forgets the previous engagement. There needs to be also experience. There needs to be something which we try, and I'm so grateful to Bhujan Prabhu. We discussed it, but actually he came up with the solution. This alone with Krishna, it is the time when you are meant to apply what you have heard. For instance, today we pondered about this lecture on the stole leg. Our process is chanting and praying. Yeah, hearing we have heard thousands of times. No, chanting and hearing, yes. And then praying. I'm frail. I'm trying. So what else was there? But I have no... So when you are out in the hill, what this means is you introduce this element which you have heard, and you actually stop your chanting for some time and you pray, oh, please help. My dear devotees, this applying after you have heard something is so important, because hearing again sets you on the path of Shraddha. You have faith in something. But it's a path. It leads you somewhere. And the where it should lead you is to Krishna. And this will only happen when you actually apply what you have learned. So if you can learn this in your alone with Krishna sessions, then, my dear devotees, if you learn this new art, then you can apply it in your life, and after some time, you will be fully Krishna conscious. And at that time, your retreat will be successful. And Prabhupada will be pretty pleased. So this is a little bit... Yesterday, for instance, in the 64 rounds day, I must say I was so impressed by the group, up to Prashadam. Then I also couldn't. After Prashadam, I admired Bhujan, who was sitting there. Thought, well, next tree with a good substantial shade, and then I will lay down on the left side and digest. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just observing. But you did so well. I think in addition, there were also devotees around the lake, and there were devotees, circumambulating Srila Rupa Goswami's Baitak and everything. Everyone was applying, really. And I don't know how, I don't know what went in on the inside. How can anyone tell except you and Krishna? But yes, the effort was very, very substantial, which you...